You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Fall turns to winter, and with it, contenders become champions.
And the game is over! Celebration begins.
But pretenders become exposed and dreams will be dashed.
Fires into the end zone. Touchdown! No!
Georgia is on the mind of teams looking for a Super Bowl.
Welcome to Atlanta sightseeing.
Ma'am, in this brochure, it says this tour is crunk.
It's a gold rush for college football's national championship.
Roll jump, looks long, throws, end zone, touchdown!
The road to glory is documented here.
But now is the time to work and strain at a sport that tests the spirit and challenges the brain.
It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Sunday morning to you, everybody. We come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What a show we have for you today, coming up in just about 15 minutes from now. Our friend Brian Jones will join us from the CBS Sports crew. He's handled the SEC on CBS all season long. Inside college football, we'll talk to him about the upcoming playoff, about the bowl season, about an expanded bowl game, playoff, and expanded playoff predictions and prognostications by those in the know. We'll talk to Brian Jones coming up here on the show in about 15 minutes from now, 20 minutes past the hour. We've got your best play-by-play calls of the entire season. The excessive celebration segment today is very, very special. Since only Army-Navy yesterday, we will go back over and sift through the archives of the best play-by-play calls all season long. Also, Nick Kostos will join us next hour, our Vegas virtuoso, to discuss the Vegas odds and the lines as the sharps are looking at them in today's NFL slate. It's all coming up this morning on the show. If you want to talk about college football, NFL, coaching changes, playoff, whatever it is, you can hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You can always connect with me on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Send me tweets throughout the morning. I'll read through those on the show throughout the next 2 hours. Also on Facebook, easy to get at me, facebook.com/TheDA Show. So last night, the Heisman Trophy handed out, and Kyler Murray of Oklahoma gets it, which means it's back-to-back years, a Sooners QB takes home the most prestigious trophy in college football. Last year, it was Baker Mayfield. This year, it's Kyler Murray. But last season, the Sooners and Mayfield's year did not end up in a national championship game. Can Kyler Murray change that? And on top of it, Murray has signed a deal with the Oakland Athletics. He's making more than $4 million to report to A's training camp, spring training, etc., and be part of their organization. Kyler Murray, though, has a future in the NFL, and maybe for the first time since Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders and Brian Jordan back in the 90s, there's a real question here, an elite football player with a baseball contract, should Kyler Murray play football? Let's get to your Sunday Gunslinger.
In football's Wild West, there are winners and there are losers. He shoots from the hip. DA is the Sunday Gunslinger.
We need men like him to make towns safer, decent people.
When you have to shoot, shoot. Don't talk.
Now jerk that pistol and go to work.
All right, let's do it.
We're making this place safe for people. You can always watch Sunday Morning Football at watchda.com. So let's begin with that Kyler Murray story. He was amazing this year for the Sooners. And I think he's going to be amazing in the bowl game. Let's see where he is in this college football playoff against a very good defense and an all-time historic coach. But Oklahoma-Alabama has some juice here because I feel as though Kyler Murray is going to put up points. And if he does the impossible, if he knocks off Alabama, there will be even more people saying, hey, you've got to play football. You'll be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Don't you want that? Here's Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network.
He left it open this week saying, well, he'd like to play football in addition to baseball. And, of course, he was the ninth overall pick of the Oakland A's. Well, to clear things up, I talked to Scott Boras, his baseball agent, who told me in no uncertain terms, Kyler Murray is a baseball player, is going to show up for spring training in February for the Oakland A's. And remember, he signed a $4.66 million contract after he was drafted. The agreement there was he would play one season of college football. And as far as Boras told me, contractually, that was it. Once that season of college football is over, he is a baseball player. Boras said, there is nothing to figure out. It has, in fact, been decided. But if he was, in fact, going to play football, I talked to a couple scouts. They believed he'd be a Friday draft pick, probably a third rounder, maybe a second rounder, just because he's about 5'9", and as a quarterback, that's a tough sell.
Those are all really important points. The fact that Kyler Murray would be a day two draft pick, the fact that he might be a third rounder because of his size, he is dynamic, he is explosive, and he just might lead the Sooners to the promised land. But if he's not going to be a first-round draft pick, you cannot play football. On top of it, the Oakland Athletics gave him an act of good faith. They said, we will sign you. We will give you this money. However, you can only play this upcoming season college football. After that, you're ours. But we will allow you to risk the injury to play football. Think about this. If Kyler Murray separates his shoulder in this game against Alabama, suddenly they've got damaged goods. So I think they've got to do right by the A's. And while Kyler Murray is a Heisman Trophy winner, and deservedly so, and while Murray had a future or has a future in football, the fact that the A's signed him and said, hey, you can play football on us basically for a year, I think the right thing to do has to be playing baseball, at least not only for what the A's allowed you to do, but also for the fact that it's all guaranteed money in baseball, and there's not nearly the injury factor that there is in football. Baseball players are obviously, they're subject to types of injuries, but it's not the type of concussions or broken bones or collisions that football players are. Murray should play baseball. Yesterday, Army-Navy, one of the best traditions in college football, maybe one of the best traditions in all of sports. Army ends up taking home another win, 17-10 over the Midshipmen in Philadelphia.
A tight formation, a quarterback sneak, Kelvin Hopkins in for the touchdown! Kelvin Hopkins goes in on the quarterback sneak, and the celebration a minute 28 away here at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia as Hopkins giving Army a commanding 16-7 lead over Navy.
Learfield Sports, can we just talk about the job that Jeff Munkin has done? When you look back at where Army football was before Munkin took over, it was a 2-win, 3-win operation. Hey, it wasn't that long ago that they went 0-13. 13 games, they lost them all. You're talking about 1-11, 1-10, 2-9, 0-13. Terrible, awful, just really aggravating seasons for anybody that is an Army football fan. And yet Jeff Munkin took over in 2014, and he immediately paid dividends. The first two seasons were not exactly brilliant, but you could see the tracks that he was laying. You could see the foundation that he was building. And after a 4-8 and a 2-10, Munkin went 8-5 in 2016 and went to the heart of Dallas Bowl and beat North Texas in overtime. Then last year, a 10-win season. In the Armed Forces Bowl, they beat San Diego State. And this year, another 10-win campaign with the 17-10 win yesterday. They're 10-2 and headed to another bowl game. But this one is even more important because Army this year is ranked for the first time since the 90s. For the first time since 1996, Army is one of the best 25 teams in football. What Jeff Munkin has done is extraordinary. And after everything I just mentioned, what Black Knights fans will tell you is the only thing that matters is the fact that he has beaten Navy. And he now has set that as the expectation. Remember, Navy dominated this series over the last 15 years. Dominated. And now it's Army annually getting the win. What Munkin has done on the shores of the Hudson is nothing short of miraculous. And I don't think people give this enough credit. People look at that Oklahoma close win over the Black Knights and say, wow, that was a down day. No, Army is this good, and it's because of what Jeff Munkin has brought to that program, brought to that table, and I could not be more impressed by what that team continues to do on a weekly basis. 10 wins at Army. 5 years ago, they were a 10-loss outfit. And finally, the Jaguars getting embarrassed on Thursday night. The Titans waxing them. How about Derrick Henry's 250-yard night, including a 99-yarder, tied for the longest in NFL history. Just the second time that has ever been done. The Jaguars have to look in the mirror, and the question is it time for Tom Coughlin to come down from the luxury suite and be a head coach on the sidelines?
Every week, we've been told, for sure by coaches that we're working hard, so we got to believe we're working hard, and we're going out there working just because, that's our job. So we definitely giving our all in practice and in the games, just coming on the short end.
Keelan Cole, Jaguars wide receiver. I don't think that Tom Coughlin's going to make that dramatic of a change because Tom Coughlin was the beneficiary in New York of extraordinary patience by the Giants brass. Remember, before that 2007 Super Bowl run, people wanted him out. Then again in 2011, before that Super Bowl run, Giants fans wanted him out. The media had him already fired. I think he realizes staying the course, remaining consistent with your head coach is of utmost importance in the NFL. And while I'm sure he's emotional, while I'm sure he's aggravated, while I'm sure he's upset, I don't think he's going to make that change, nor do I think he should. Coughlin's an old dude, and this is not a job for the old. If you don't have the energy to put in crazy hours and crazy dedication. I know he's emotional. I don't think that's the right move. I think that Coughlin's going to end up cleaning house as an assistant coaching staff. New coordinators, they've already fired their offensive coordinator. But I don't think he'll make a change with Doug Marrone at head coach and come down to the sideline. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. You can watch the show this morning, as always, at watchda.com. When we come back, Brian Jones is going to join us. Our good friend from CBS Sports, you watch him every Saturday as part of Inside College Football Today, the SEC on CBS. Let's talk to Brian about the upcoming college football playoff games, as well as the cries for an expanded playoff and much, much more. DA, Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio.
NFL action begins next Sunday with the NFL Today, followed by a full slate of regional games. You'll say, you saw it on CBS Sports.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
Welcome inside Sunday Morning Football, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. DA with you, as always. And you can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network, also on Sirius XM Channel 206. And on the CBS Sports app, the Radio.com app, and Apple Music. And on Saturdays throughout the college football season, our next guest has kept you company. And now we finally have our bowl slate. We have our college football playoff schedule. Joining us here on the show, College Football Today, Inside College Football, the SEC on CBS, analyst, our friend, Brian Jones. Mr. Jones, how are you, my friend?
DA, I'm great. How many dozen motherships do you have, man? You just listed a litany of them.
There's a lot of them, man. I got to park them all in the garage, too. It's hard.
I see you got a vast universe in which to park them. That's cool, man. That's a lot of space.
I have not seen you in a while. How you been? How'd college football season treat you?
I am outstanding. College football season went exceedingly quick this year. It seems like it always flies by. This year it flew by, man. It was just amazing that we're sitting here and this thing is done with.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Hey, let's talk about this college football playoff. Were you good with Oklahoma getting the 4 seed?
I was great with it. As painful as that is for me to admit, being a Longhorn, but they deserved it. I said leading into the conference championship games that if Oklahoma were to win, they would be in. They were sitting there ahead of Ohio State, of course, and everyone's pointing towards Ohio State just demolishing Michigan, which was very impressive, but equally and less impressive was that loss to Purdue. And you had a Oklahoma team taking on a higher-ranked opponent in their last chance to make an impression, and then did Ohio State. So it went as I thought it would go, and a lot of people are upset and saying for the first time that the committee engaged in politics. Well, I think that's a bunch of bulldookie. I would go back to the first installment of this current playoff system, and I would say they engaged in politics way back then when they left out and snubbed Baylor and TCU because they were not a Texas or a brand name like Oklahoma. So I thought they got it right. And you're looking at a two-loss Georgia team, and that one loss, or one of those two losses, was versus LSU, in which they were throttled by LSU. So, you know, get over it, move on. They got it right. And while I think Oklahoma shouldn't cause too much of an impediment for Alabama, they still are deserving.
Brian Jones joins us here on Sunday Morning Football. That Alabama-Oklahoma game suddenly becomes really interesting, not only because Kyler Murray and the Sooners can put up points, but because we don't really know what the health is going to be for Tua Tagovailoa. Saban says he's going to be fine, but who do you think should start for Alabama under center in that game?
Oh, there's no doubt it'll be Tua if he's healthy. If they think he can go and he can get the practice reps in, he's going to be the starter. He earned it. And he's been their starter majority of this season. Hollywood couldn't write a better script than what occurred this past weekend in Atlanta with the former starter relegated to backup, becoming the starter again and engineering a comfort behind win. So great story and entertainment, but Tua is the starter. There's a reason he was inserted as the starter because he's the better quarterback. Now, Hurts has progressed. He showcased he's progressed as a passer, but it's going to be Tua if he can come back and be healthy enough. And he won't have too much to worry about as far as that Oklahoma defense. Yeah, they played better versus my Longhorns in the second installment versus Texas. But this Bama offense, man, and whether they're passing it or running it, they give you headaches.
Do the Notre Dame Fighting Irish have a chance to knock off Clemson in the other semifinal?
They have a shot, and this is a closer matchup than I believe Oklahoma and Alabama will be. The problem I have with Notre Dame is I'm not so sure they have enough fast twitch muscles, enough explosive players to cause Clemson issues on the offensive side of the ball. They do have a good defense, which could pose a significant problem for Trevor Lawrence in the offense. Now, they're going to have to stop the running of Travis Etienne, and the same for Clemson's defense. Can they stop Dexter Williams and that Notre Dame running game? And I believe they can, especially with that front four. Their linebackers and their secondary, you can't affect change there. And we'll see if Notre Dame can get past that first line of defense, which are those big boys up front. And if they can get to the second and third level, they may be cooking with gas. But as we sit here today, I just don't believe they have enough explosive players to be able to do that.
Cooking with gas. Brian Jones joins us, CBS sports analyst. Urban Meyer walks away earlier this week. Do you think he will coach football again?
I'm going to say yes. I think he will. He's still relatively young, 54, 55, somewhere in there. That's the new 45, man. So we'll see how this health issue shakes out for him. And then I believe he will be, if he's given a clean bill of health, I think he will be back on the sideline, depending on which job it is. Just like when he came off the sidelines after Florida to take Ohio State. And I think if there's a marquee program out there, considering his track record, and it's a hell of a good one, undefeated team at Utah, two national titles at Florida, worst conference record in the Big Ten was tied for first. I mean, that's just amazing. 12-0, national championship there as well. That's got to be a big-ass program for him to come off the sidelines and especially to subject himself to all of the criticism that will heap upon him considering what transpired prior to this season. So I'm going to say yes, he will coach again, especially if he gets a clean bill of health.
What do you think about where Jim Harbaugh is right now in Michigan? Of course, there's always rumblings that he's going to leave and go somewhere else because he's done that throughout his entire career. But after getting smacked around by Ohio State in that final game of the regular season, do you think Harbaugh sticks around for a while in Ann Arbor, or is he going to start getting that itchy trigger finger?
No, I think he sticks around. And where else does the brass there and the Michigan faithful, who else can they turn to? They wanted a Michigan man. They've been clamoring for that for years since they got rid of my boy Rich Rodriguez. So they get half a Michigan man in Brady Hoke, a guy who had coached there. He wins a ton of games with Rich Rodriguez's players. And then they get rid of him. And Harbaugh comes in and has done everything they've wanted him to do except what? Beat Ohio State, and that team looked slow defensively versus Ohio State. And offensively, they couldn't do anything. And the reason they brought Shea Patterson in there was to open up that offense, give them more of a spread presence and not your mom and daddy's 3 yards in a cloud of dust. But they could do nothing in that department. So they're still trying to find a way. They need to go out and recruit more speed. That's going to be the key. I look at this situation similar to what was going on at Texas under Mack Brown and prior to Vince Young and his cohorts landing there on campus and Texas winning a national title. Texas was winning a lot of football games. They were winning 9-10 ball games a year, and they would tell you that. But could they beat Oklahoma? No, not on a consistent basis. Did they win the conference championship on a consistent basis? No. And I think it's similar to what's going on now with Harbaugh. So they just need to go out and recruit some better players. They have an idea of what they need after that whipping they took from Ohio State. Same thing Texas had to do. Go back to the drawing board. What do we need to get over these Sooners who have put some of the worst point totals on us in the history of the rivalry? So I think they can eventually get there. But that stands out to me is the lack of speed, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But they have nowhere else to go, no one else to run to, if you will.
That's right. Okay, final point is going to be about UCF. I want to ask you about this because UCF says, hey, man, there's no path for us into the playoff. Greg Sankey, SEC commissioner, says, yes, there is. You got to schedule better. UCF says nobody wants to play us. Who is right here?
Which came first, the chicken or the egg, right?
Uh-huh.
They're both correct, but I would lean more towards UCF. There's folks are scared to put them on the schedule, much like they were with Boise State. Remember upstart Boise State knocking off the big teams? Oklahoma comes to mind in the Fiesta Bowl, and then eventually others with scheduling. I think Ole Miss played them in Atlanta. Virginia Tech played them in Maryland at the Washington Redskins Stadium. And so until UCF can get some of the big boys on their schedule, or if they continue to knock off Power 5 conferences, conference teams, like they did last year, Auburn out of the SEC West, now LSU out of the SEC West. If they could win that one, that's a huge, huge monumental movement for this program if they could do that. So that's the key. And you got to get these big boys to come on the schedule, but you want them, but do they want you? It takes two to tangle.
That's exactly right. Brian Jones joins us this morning here on CBS Sports Radio, Sunday Morning Football. My man, it is always awesome to catch up with you. You watch Brian throughout the season for the SEC on CBS, Inside College Football, College Football Today. It is great to finally hear your voice again on the radio, brother. Thank you so much for finding time for us, man, and happy holidays.
Hey, DA, appreciate you, man. Happy holidays to you.
Back at you. Brian Jones joining us this morning here on the show. Coming up here next on Sunday Morning Football, this is very exciting because, of course, every single week we do Excessive Celebration. That is the best play-by-play calls of the college football weekend. But with only Army-Navy yesterday, it is time to go back over the best play-by-play calls of the season. Here is the best college football play-by-play calls of 2018 next. Excessive celebration is coming your way. D.A., Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio.
You have a reservation for year-round excitement with CBS Sports. Your ticket to action.
It's Sunday Morning Football with D.A.
Welcome back. Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio, and on all of our affiliates across this great CBS Sports Radio network. You can catch us every single Sunday morning. Also, we're on Sirius XM Channel 206, as is the rest of CBS Sports Radio. And listen to us on your phone by checking out the CBS Sports app, the TuneIn app, or as well as the Radio.com app and Apple Music. You can listen to Sunday Morning Football each and every week. Will carry you through Super Bowl Sunday, so another couple of months to go here on the airwaves. And then also you can watch the show as well, the simulcast at watchda.com. Now, our toll-free line is brought to you by GEICO. So holler at us about all things college football and NFL. 855-212-4227. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switching to GEICO, go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Coming up next hour on the show, our friend Nick Costos will join us, our Vegas virtuoso, our resident sharp. Nick will join us to look at today's NFL slate. Some interesting games in the NFL today. Jets and Bills, two non-playoff teams, but Panthers and Browns is interesting because Carolina has slid its way out of the perch of a playoff spot. However, at 6-6, there's still work to be done for Carolina. But how about Baker Mayfield and the resurgent Cleveland Browns? They're not an easy out anymore. So Panthers and Browns is kind of interesting. And Jason Lockenfora, who we will hear from next hour, discussed with me this week how the Carolina Panthers job, if it were to open up because Ron Rivera got the axe, is the most interesting job, the most appealing job potentially on the market of the NFL. And I don't think that's something that a lot of people think of, that the Panthers would be the most desirable job. However, as he put it, it would be a new owner who would want to put his stamp on things and hire the guy that he wants. And thus, you would have the leash and the leniency of an owner that said, this is my first hire. I want to make it work. You've got a franchise QB in Cam Newton. You have a winnable division, as good as Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints are. You have had a history of success in that division, going to the playoffs, winning the NFC South, and a part of the country where you've got good facilities, you've got a good stadium situation, but it's not the win or die outfit or attitude that you might see other places. I mentioned the Green Bay Packers to him, and he says, yes, but in Green Bay you get Aaron Rodgers, but you also have to win a Super Bowl or else it is a disappointment. In Charlotte, that is not the case. So he said the Panthers actually one of the most desirable jobs, if not the most desirable job, if it opens up this offseason, which is interesting. So watch that today. Panthers and Browns, Falcons and Packers, as well as the Packers have a minuscule chance of trying to make the playoffs, but it begins today because they're going to have to run the table and at least go to 8-7-1 to have any type of shot at a tiebreaker. Ravens and Chiefs, also very interesting, two potential playoff teams going at it. Patriots and Dolphins, Saints and Buccaneers, Giants in Washington. Odell Beckham is out today. Colts and Texans, that's your early slate of football today. Let's get to one of our favorite segments here on the show. But excessive celebration is normally the best play-by-play calls of the week. But because there's only Army-Navy this week, we have got for you, this is really cool, the best play-by-play calls of the season, excessive celebration for 2018.
The soundtrack of college football chaos. The announcers losing their minds.
At the goal line, I think he caught it for a touchdown. He got it! He got it! He got it! Touchdown, Nick Matthews! The Cougars win it! The Cougars win it!
Here's the best of the weekend. It's excessive celebration.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight! Holy cow!
So let's start with a game for the big boys. This is to the Big 12, West Virginia and Texas. This thing was wild, as most Big 12 games are. It ends up being a shootout, and here comes West Virginia down the throats of the Texas Longhorns defense. And here's how West Virginia goes for the win. It's the great Gus Johnson on Fox Sports on your call.
Greer lobs it in the air.
Oh! What a catch, Gary Jennings! Touchdown, West Virginia! Wow! What a throw by Will Greer with 16 seconds left.
Oh, my goodness. Is his foot down?
It absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. I have not seen a throw like that in that situation. That was an absolute dime.
Greer in the gun. Greer, quarterback run. Greer, he got it. Touchdown. Two-point conversion for West Virginia.
That was Gus Johnson, Joel Klatt on Fox Sports. West Virginia pulls the upset. They knock off the Longhorns on the road, 42-41. Dana Holgorsen, he of the skullet, goes for the two-point conversion and the win in the waning seconds, and they get it. Will Greer ends up with 346, three touchdowns, no INTs in one of the great Big 12 games of the college football season. And anytime that we can get Gus Johnson and his voice cracking here on the show, we will always play that. Earlier in the season, that was kind of a late season game in the Big 12. Earlier in the year, you might remember one of the craziest upsets of the season. That was when Old Dominion somehow, someway knocked off Virginia Tech. This was earlier in the year when we thought that the Hokies were a player in the ACC. This was earlier in the year when we thought that the Hokies would be a very solid ranked team throughout the season. And here was Old Dominion. Old Dominion pulling the upset, and the great Carter Blackburn for CBS Sports Network on the call.
Russo hands off. Jeremy Cox, big hole up the middle. Cox goes barreling into the end zone. And with less than 10 minutes to go in Norfolk, Virginia, winless Old Dominion has the lead on 13th-ranked Virginia Tech. LaRussa to the goal line. LaRussa is caught! Touchdown! Duhart, remarkable grab with a hokey draped all over him. Duhart hauls it in. And stunningly, Old Dominion takes the lead again. Hand off, but you just have to take a knee here. Cox goes rolling. He wants the end zone. Cox inside the 10. He stretches, and he adds in. An exclamation point for Old Dominion. Why take a knee when you can celebrate in the end zone? And the Monarchs are a minute 34 away from one of the biggest upsets in college football in years.
Carter, all over the call. A virtuoso performance by Blackburn on the CBS Sports Network. That was amazing. ODU pulls the upset of Virginia Tech this year in one of the most staggering upsets in college football's recent memory. And because we are an equal opportunity sports radio show here, not only do we have college football, that West Virginia-Texas game was from November the 3rd. Old Dominion Virginia Tech was on September the 22nd. Let's now go to high school football this year. This is a call you have not heard here on Sunday Morning Football. We go back to November 18th, when the D.C. metro area, the Washington Catholic Athletic Conference, the WCAC, has two of the best high schools in the country going at it in the playoffs. It's the Capital Division Championship between Gonzaga College in Washington, D.C., and DeMatha Catholic in Maryland. And I'm sure you've heard of DeMatha Catholic. They have had a number of big-time recruits and football players come out of that program. So it looked like the Stags were on their way to a fifth WCAC title, except Gonzaga comes storming back. Here is your call. A crazy final couple of seconds on First Amendment Sports.
Wouldn't Lou Holtz say God doesn't care, but his mom does?
Is God purple? We're about to find out. Ball's in the air, and it is going to get there. And if somebody caught that, did somebody catch that? Gonzaga, did they catch that? Touchdown, Gonzaga! The Gonzaga Purple Eagles win the WCC on a last-second touchdown pass.
I cannot believe it. That is the greatest high school football game.
Look at this pandemonium right now. Catholic, who brought it down? I haven't even seen who brought it down yet.
We have no idea.
The best part about high school calls is everybody talking over one another for the entire time. There's like seven people talking at the same time during that Hail Mary. It was amazing because there was a touchdown pass with 29 seconds to go where DeMatha thought that they would have lost, and then they end up taking the squib kick all the way to the house, and DeMatha takes the lead 43-40. All of that happens between 29 and 15 seconds to go. Then with 15 seconds to go, what you heard there from their own 41-yard line was a Hail Mary that ends up getting caught, and that's the way that it ends. Just absolute madness, and Gonzaga capturing its first WCAC title since 2002, high school football in the D.C. area. And that's your best play-by-play calls of 2018. Not only college football, but high school as well. I love it. And now, going forward, we will have the best play-by-play calls of the bowl season as we make our way through the next month or so of playoff games, postseason games, and bowl games in college football. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Justin tweets, DA, what do you think? Aaron Rodgers of the Packers, what do they need to do different today? Try to win this game. Look, I think that part of the problem for the Packers the last couple of weeks has been this seeming march to the end of the season for Mike McCarthy. I think that was hanging over the Packers quite a bit. And I think that there came a point where McCarthy and Rodgers being pitted against one another in the media, in the public eye, I think neither one of them wanted to be the reason it failed. And so I think they were both trying to prove that, see, it's not me. It's not me. And I think that was really problematic between those two guys, their relationship. Right now, to me, the best thing that could happen is simply you tear the Band-Aid off, McCarthy's no longer there, and that's not hanging over the heads of the franchise. The other good thing is, at home, the Packers have been largely fine, and it's just been on the road where they've been such a disaster. The Falcons coming to town. Atlanta has played more games this season where they seem like they haven't cared. They haven't put in the work. They haven't put in the effort. I know they've had injuries, but there's too many moments where I see the Falcons not living up to their potential. And so today, I can't imagine a Falcons team that comes out clicking on all cylinders. They just haven't done that most times this year. So I think for the Packers, just a new start. I don't know, Joe Philbin shouldn't get the head coaching job of the offseason, but I think Philbin will calm the waters, and I would expect a better, more focused effort out of the Packers today at home against the Falcons, but I don't think it ends up being enough. I think Green Bay ends up missing the playoffs this year. When we come back, speaking of which, did Aaron Rodgers basically get Mike McCarthy fired? And we'll talk about the Gators and UCF doing a little dance in terms of scheduling. DA, Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.